Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you have seen this picture before? Pretty much everybody, right? How many of you actually have it in your house? A lot of people. The title of this print is Grace. Fits well with the theme for today. And it was a photograph, it is a photograph, taken by Eric Enstrom and somewhere around 1920 in Bovee, Minnesota. I think that's how you say it. I don't know, it's Minnesota, so it could be pronounced differently. But I'm pretty sure it's Bovee, Minnesota. And the man pictured there, his name is Charles Wilden. And originally it was a black and white photo, and later in the 1940s, Enstrom's daughter colorized it the old way with like oil painting, actually painted it in color. And it has been around for a really, really long time, 1920s. It's very popular. And there's lots of interesting things about it. The book, how many of you say that it's a Bible that's on his table? Some. Some say it's a dictionary, because it's really thick. Others say it's a Bible. Others just said it was a book. It's a posed photo. So it wasn't just, you know, happenstance that this happened to be this way. Enstrom actually posed Charles Wilden in this way to take the picture. It wasn't even really meant to be particularly religious or spiritual. It just happened to turn out that way. It's a picture of a man in the Great Depression who is thankful for what he has, the meager rations and the little bowl of soup that he has there. So it's interesting that we resonate with this picture so much, that it has become so much a part of our regular lives that we all have seen it and we resonate with it. We connect with this picture of this man praying over his food. There is a counterpart to it. The other counterpart is called gratitude, and it is of a woman in much the same posture, but that one was actually done in 1960 and was part of a marketing ploy by a Christian bookstore, so we don't like that one as much. I don't know. Maybe you do, but it's interesting, this grace. When I was considering this sermon for this weekend and reading through Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray, grace seems to be the way Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Jesus taught his disciples not like John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. He taught them to pray differently. He taught them to pray with grace, and to understand the grace of God in your prayers. So we look at the Lord's Prayer, or at least Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, that seems to be abbreviated. Matthew's version is a little bit longer and includes some of the different pieces that we include in our version of the Lord's Prayer. But the first thing that comes to mind in the Lord's Prayer is with this picture, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus instructs his disciples to pray for daily bread. It's the grace of sustenance, just what we need for this day. Not for our weekly bread or monthly bread or yearly bread, but our daily bread, just what we need for today. So we go to Luther's catechism. Everybody get out their catechisms. It's actually in the front of the hymnal, Luther's small catechism, in case you want to look it up there. It's there. Page 3-something, or 235, or 325, somewhere around there. So give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean, Luther says? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone, without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thankfulness. It's the grace of sustenance and thankfulness. It's the realization that everything we have comes as a gift from God. Everything we have. Daily bread isn't just about food. It's about everything that we have that comes from God. We live in complete dependence on God. If God decided at one point to just stop providing for his people, we wouldn't have anything. That's the way it works. Now, we don't always see it that way, right? We live in a world of plenty. It doesn't always look that it's God providing everything, especially when we have over 100 grocery stores in the Eugene Springfield area, that there's not a lack, right? We often feel entitled. We expect that when we go into the grocery store, there's gonna be stuff there, right? We're not used to scarcity. During our days in Alaska, in Fairbanks in particular, there were days when we'd go into Fred Meyer and there would be whole sections of Fred's that was empty. Aisles that had no food in them because the barge couldn't make it in or the train was snowed under. Can you imagine going into Fred's in Springfield or Eugene and having whole sections empty? We can't imagine it. And if there were, well, we could go to Safeway, one of many, or we could go to, you know, Costco, or we could go to Market of Choice, or we could go to any one of the 100-something grocery stores to find what we need. We don't really know what it's like to be completely dependent on God because we don't really experience scarcity. Now, I'm not saying that we all need to experience scarcity to realize that we are dependent on God. And that's what the Lord's Prayer, that's what Luther is saying, is that when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're praying for the grace of sustenance and to realize that everything we have comes as a gift from God. Everything we have. Even when we're entitled or expecting, God still provides what we need. Do you realize that in Luther's explanation, he said that God provides food even to all evil people? And we think, oh, yes, evil people. Well, it's us, okay? When we expect, when we're entitled, when we think somebody owes us something. That's what he means. We are sinner saints. We live as saints in the world blessed by God, but sinners struggling with our daily needs and our own issues and struggles. We are both the good and evil people. So when we pray that God provides food even for all evil people, we're so glad that he does, because that's us. We are glad for the daily bread, for the grace of sustenance. And we bow our heads and fold our hands in prayer over even the most meager of meals. Not everything has to be a five-course banquet every time to be thankful for it. We're thankful for all of the things that God gives us. And most importantly, we're thankful for the grace of sustenance that he provides us in his Son, his body and blood, given and shed for us, for our forgiveness. That's the grace of sustenance right there at the table. That's what we receive today when we come to the rail. And in that grace of sustenance is also the grace of salvation. Because we say in that bread and wine that there is forgiveness for sins, a promise of eternal life and salvation. So the grace of sustenance is also the grace of salvation. Jesus teaches his disciples, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's not exactly the way Jesus said it in Luke. Did you recognize that when we were reading it? He says it a little bit differently and maybe a little bit more challenging for us. He says, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Yeah, it's a little different. I mean, the words are meaning the same thing, but it's different when you put it that way. That we're praying for that grace of salvation, that forgiveness of sins, for we also share that grace of salvation and that forgiveness of sins with, as Jesus said, everyone who is indebted to us. So let's see what Luther has to say about forgive us our trespasses. What does this mean? We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them, but we ask that he would give them all to us by grace. For we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. So we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. Well, Luther doesn't let us off the hook any more than Jesus does. This is a hard one. The grace of salvation is not easy for us because we can't do it. See, the grace of sustenance is one thing because we feel like we can provide our own food. We don't really need God to provide our food, right? Because we can do it ourselves. That's where we run into problems. But with the grace of salvation, there's nothing we can do for our own salvation. We can't figure it out ourselves. We can't give it to ourselves. Forgiveness comes from outside. Now, the rumor was that Charles Wilden was a local drunk. He was a door-to-door salesman of things in a coal mining town that nobody wanted to buy, so he spent most of his time down at the tavern. That's the rumor. I don't know Charles Wilden personally, but that's the rumor. So here we have a picture of somebody who is purported to be, well, a little less than graceful. And we all have it hanging in our homes. Pictures to remind us of grace. Yeah, indeed. Not just for the grace of sustenance, but for the grace of salvation. That forgiveness. For whatever it was that Charles Wilden was up to, whatever it is that we're up to, we have God's grace and his forgiveness for us. Luther says our prayer is that God would forgive us out of his grace, not because we deserve it, because we don't, not because we think we've earned it, because we haven't, but because of our full and complete dependence on God for his grace and salvation. So the promise of this part of the Lord's Prayer is that no matter how deep the sin is, no matter how pervasive it is, no matter how destructive it is, no matter how great or how small, how wide or how deep the sin is, the grace of salvation forgives it. All of it. Completely. As one of my professors used to say, God does not work in fractions. His forgiveness is complete and total. No matter what, it's forgiving. And for us, as sinners in need of forgiveness, that is the complete grace of salvation. Now the hard part is that second part. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Oh, what do we do about that? Because we know we don't. Once again, our total dependence on God for his grace. So even for us in the act of forgiving others, we are completely dependent on God for that. We can't do it ourselves. We won't do it ourselves. In fact, if it were up to us, we would hold on to every sin, make a list in a book a mile long, so that anytime anyone did anything wrong, we could recount every single other thing that they've done wrong. That's what we would do. And I know, personally speaking, some of us do that. We record. We get historical when it comes to things. We start to count. So how do you overcome that? Again, it's only by God's grace. You can't do it yourself. The grace of salvation is that forgiveness that comes from God that we have the opportunity and obligation, yes, obligation to forgive. It's a hard word for us in this Christian life. But as God forgives us, we forgive others. We say it every week in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Indeed, we do. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not. But that's where the grace of salvation comes in. And we pray that in that prayer, that our own sinful nature won't get in the way. That God's grace will win out in the end. So what gets us through? Well, we go back to the words of Jesus in his prayer that he taught his disciples. Lead us not into temptation. And Matthew includes, but deliver us from evil. It's the grace of security. Every day we walk in the grace of security. Every single day. The world around us is a dangerous place. We know that. We've seen that. We've experienced that. We know the world's a dangerous place. So how do we get out of our houses every day? How do we engage the world every day? It's only by the grace, the security that God gives us. Lead us not Lead us not into temptation. What does this mean? God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. The grace of security. Charles Wilden, Eric Enstrom, they lived during the Great Depression. There wasn't much security there. Not knowing where your next meal would come from. And yet, grace is what emerges. The grace of security. Of trusting in God for all things, to protect us, to guard us against, as Luther said, the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature. The grace of security. I worked for a summer in Pontiac, Michigan, as a camp counselor for a day camp in Pontiac with some really at-risk kids. It was a very gang-infested and violent area. We were at the community center one day playing games, doing crafts like you would for a day camp, and an argument erupted on the basketball court, which was in another part of the community center, and it was where the older kids played. And as the argument erupted, the community center director came in and he told us all to sit tight, which in terms means get down on the floor below the windows. I didn't feel very secure. The argument spilled out into the parking lot. Trunks were opened, guns were drawn, shots were fired. Nobody was hurt or hit, but I was rattled. I did not feel secure. But what amazed me afterwards was the kids I was working with completely unfazed. They went back about their business as if this was normal, everyday life, because for them it was. Now, I don't want to suggest that denial is a great tool for security. However, for them, it was the only security they had. There was no one to protect them, no one to watch over them, no one to tell them always to get down when the shots were fired. So for them, the grace of security was, it was just how life was. For me, it challenged my security. I didn't really know how to react. I didn't tell my parents about it. I was in college. I didn't tell my parents about it till well after, so that they wouldn't worry, so they could still have that denial of security and be fine. See, the prayer for security, for that grace, is a prayer of trust, that no matter what's going to happen in this life, that we know that our security is held in God's hands, that our salvation is in God's hands, that our sustenance is in God's hands. That's the prayer for security, for that grace of security, is that we pray that God would help us to trust in Him above all things. That no matter what comes in this life, no matter what challenges we face, even from our own selves, that He would hold us secure, that He would hold us safe in His arms, in His hands. And that's really, that's the best place to be. Because we could line up all kinds of different security measures for our own lives. We could walk around with helmets and bubble wrap all day, every day. We'd still get hurt. We could live in denial, in the sheer ignorance is bliss kind of thing, and ignore all of the signs around us of violence, but it would still be there. And we could ignore all of the doctor's orders and live however we want and eat however we want and do whatever we want, but we'd still get sick. So security isn't about being prevented from entering into any of those things. It's the trust to know that no matter what it is we face, God holds us in His hands. And that security, that sure and certain salvation that we speak of is through Christ, not us, not anyone else, but in Christ alone. That security, that salvation, and that sustenance. And really, that's all grace. That's all grace given to us by our gracious God. So that's how we count it. Not as something we deserve, not as something that we've earned, not as something that we've purchased, but as grace. So whatever happened to Charles Wilden? Nobody knows. I imagine after the sitting, he probably was paid a couple of bucks and went down for a drink, if the rumors are true. But it doesn't really matter, because it is about our gracious God, not about Charles Wilden. It's about the grace of God, not about us and our greatness. It's the greatness of sustenance, thankfulness for our daily bread, the grace of salvation, that forgiveness of sins, and that grace of security, that guiding and guarding that God does for his people. Always and forever. Amen. And now may that grace of our Lord Jesus